Welcome to the
Idiots
Explaining
Entertainment
Extravaganza, only on GamingUncensored.com.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to episode 5 of E4 2020. It is the Ubisoft show because Ubisoft just did their Ubisoft Forward thing. And so we're going to talk about that. I'm Tommy Jamieson over there. How you doing, man?
I'm a happy camper. And not necessarily because of Ubi. Ubi was all right.
Whatever, yeah.
But I got some other stuff going on in my house that's fabulous. This show's going to go totally off the rails. It's going to be fantastic.
Well, take it off the rails before we get into the fun stuff, Ubi stuff.
I should have been watching the half hour of gameplay that they showed of Valhalla, which was what I was going to do because that was right after the show. But Avery comes into my room and says, "Hey, I need a minute." And she's jumping up and down, and she has this case in her hand. And she goes, "Can you guess what this is? It just came in the mail." I said, "I have no clue." She unzips it, and her mother has sent her an ocarina. ocarina. And my response, the only response I could come up with, the only words I could come up with was, "That's dope." that was my response. And so we have an ocarina in my house.
Nice.
Which is fantastic. We have a brand new Switch dock in my house, which is fantastic. By the way, if you need an extra Switch dock, the Insignia will not break your Switch. At least it hasn't yet. So we're happy about that.
Fair enough.
That's going on. I have told her that I got a couple days off this week. And so we're going to fire up the Raspberry Pi and play some arcade games.
Very
looking
nice.
Forward to that. And you will be very happy to hear that I told her I was going to go on the air with you here right now. And she goes, "Is there any chance that he's coming?" And I said, "As a matter of fact, he's going to be here in just a little while." And she's like, "Cool, I'd really like to see that guy."
Aw.
And so I thought that would give you a smile.
Yeah, that's awesome. That makes me feel good.
So she's looking forward to seeing you when you are in the building here in a little while, assuming the world doesn't end. That's going to happen in a little while, so I'm real happy about that. And there was something else on the list of amazing, but I can't think of it right now. So we're in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
How are you, sir?
Good. We're getting ready for some travel. Part of that is in a little over a week, I'll be heading your way for us to cover Microsoft. I wasn't originally in the plans, but it just works out with scheduling that I will be close by when Microsoft does their event. And so we'll get to do that together, which I'm really, really pumped about. In between now and then, we'll also be taking a quick trip up to the mountains. Hopefully, again, assuming the world doesn't end in the next 3 or 4 days. So we're getting in road trip prep mode right now, packing and all that kind of stuff today, about to hit the road, which should be really, really good. Again, as long as, like, Colorado doesn't say, "Texas, y'all suck," which is fair, you can't come into our state, which would be a bummer.
Well, either you can come into our state or you got to hang out for 2 weeks in quarantine.
Right.
If you come into our state, which is what's going on in New Mexico.
Right. Yeah.
And I had yesterday, here's the weirdest, most amazing thing that I don't understand at all. There was a wedding at my church yesterday. And, of course, I'm the end of the road, last words, media dude at the church with your help. And so I was at the church yesterday for this wedding for a whole bunch of people from New Mexico. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm glad that I'm in this booth as opposed to anywhere else. Because these people might be a little nuts. You know, because there's some crazy things going on over there.
That's
so bad. So the world, we're in a weird place. And I'm happy to have video games. And I have to tell you, I have been considering, you hear this come out of my mouth quite often, but I have been considering how much more pleasurable our lives would be if we did this thing full time. Like, I'm almost done with the drama of the world. And if I could just find enough money, we need to do this full time. Because I want to be happy, like, all the time. And this seems to do it for both of us most of the time. So, I'm back on that now.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's something that can be done in isolation fairly well.
Yes.
Which is, right now, like, life in isolation, not all that difficult, makes sense. But soon, that's going to be really challenging with trying to figure out schools and all that fun stuff. And yeah, it's going to suck for a while. It's going to suck. So,
yeah, it's going to be bad. Not good.
All that said, let's not dwell on how much it's going to suck in about a month. Let's revel in video games for a little bit and talk about some Ubisoft stuff, because that's, like I said, what happened today. We're getting to do this like right after it happened, which is pretty cool. But we're going to start on news that broke yesterday instead of the show from today, because it's incredibly relevant and also will kind of color what we saw today, specifically what we saw today, but more importantly, what we're going to see in the future from Ubisoft. And that news has been kind of building for a while. There's been a lot of news out of Ubi for the past few months of some pretty toxic workplace issues with some of the higher executives, some of the bigwigs around Ubisoft. We had seen one pretty high profile resignation from Ubi about a month ago, I guess, at this point. Yesterday brought three more, including a guy named, and I'm going to butcher the name, and so my apologies there, but Sergei Haskowitz, whose title is the Chief Creation Officer, but whose role at Ubi is considered, or was considered at this point, again, he resigned, one of the most untouchable executives. Really, he was kind of the gatekeeper for all the software that came out of Ubisoft. He was the person that decided if games got made or got canceled. He has been credited in a lot of ways for Ubi's focus on kind of these big open world approaches to games. When I think about that, I think especially or specifically kind of what Assassin's Creed has turned into from Odyssey or from Origins to Odyssey and now to Valhalla. He's been a part of that, if not the driving force behind that. And every game we saw today has an element or is very, very centered around that big open world idea that Ubi's kind of become known for at this point. So him going away and then a couple other people also going away means that the content that we saw today that was all pre-recorded, nothing we saw today in this UB Forward was live, was representative of a company that existed yesterday, but not of the same company or leadership that exists at that company today. And again, more importantly, going forward. And so it's this really interesting little moment that we're looking at, this window of time where they have these games that they've been working on that are either full in development or nearly done. Something like Valhalla is coming out pretty soon, and so it's nearly done. And then we don't know what the kind of next, who's coming in after this. Yves Guillemot said recently, even just this past week, I think, that Ubi's going to put in a focus on diversifying their leadership and their personnel just in general, which is great, especially when you hear the stories. We won't go into all the stories because it's just gross some of the behavior here, but the kind of toxic environment that's been created through sexual harassment and assault and homophobia and all kinds of stuff from again multiple people in Ubisoft sounds pretty terrible for a company that I really enjoy their video games. It's hard to know that a lot of that stuff is created under some really pretty terrible work circumstances. And so all that to say, we'll get into the fun stuff with Ubi here in just a little bit, but this is really a really pivotal moment for Ubisoft as a company with this kind of big upheaval, big changes in their leadership, and trying to put out big titles, Watch Dogs and Assassin's Creed, obviously two big AAA titles that people are anticipating. And then we got an announcement of a new Far Cry as well. Those are all big games that are going to be coming out kind of in the shadow of all this stuff. So all that out of the way, that's the kind of lens through which this Ubisoft event right now is happening.
Okay, so let me start by saying this was a weird little event, even if you took all of that other stuff off. It was a weird little event for me personally. I'm not going to speak for you, because they had a whole lot of stuff that we don't care about. And then a couple of things that it's like, ooh. And then that they had one thing in particular that had some of the, I don't really know about this thing. And that, I think, is where I want to open, which is where they closed. Well, not necessarily where they closed, but I guess technically it was. But I want to start with Valhalla, because it's, I was watching it, and you know, the Batman villain Two-Face?
Uh-huh.
Right? Like, I immediately thought of Two-Face, because there are parts of this thing that I saw that were really, really fantastic and really, really well thought out. And then there were little segments, and they were small, that I looked at it and went, ugh, because it just didn't look good. And to me, and I'm curious to know how you felt, but there was a couple of little snippets where it went from this really spectacular looking vista kind of thing to, okay, we're going to like PlayStation 3 now. And I don't know if you saw, am I making that up?
No, I had that thought a couple of times too, just visual fidelity wise of, wait, this doesn't look as pretty as it looked before. Like, and so my obvious hope in that is just that it's still, you know, kind of early engine stuff, which in itself would be concerning because it's a game that's coming out relatively soon. I'm trying to remember what the release date they said was. I'll find
October.
October. Yeah, really relatively soon. November. November 17th.
Right.
And so it's not far out. And in moments, it looked worse than Odyssey, right? Like, Odyssey is just a gorgeous game. Just beautiful. And part of it is the world. And I didn't ever think that of the world of watching this stuff in Valhalla. It was always character models that when I was watching that, I went, that just doesn't look that great, you know? Yeah. But they didn't even look as good as Odyssey character models at times, which is concerning for sure, especially when they brought out Phil Spencer as part of the event to talk about the awesomeness that is whatever they're calling, I can't even think of what they're calling it for the Xbox now, but the free upgrade, essentially, that you buy the game, you can play it on whatever Xbox you have, which I'm sure is going to be the same for PlayStation, because we've seen that with every PlayStation title as well so far. But specifically, smart delivery, I think is what they're calling it.
Yes.
Specifically, they brought Phil Spencer out to talk about smart delivery for Valhalla, and I'm looking at it going, that's all well and good, but like, why do I need a PlayStation 5 version of the game. Like, what's the difference between smart delivery and just backwards compatibility at that point? You know what I'm saying? Like, if that's what the game looks like, I don't need a PlayStation 5 version of it. I can, or an Xbox Series X version of it. I just need the Xbox One version and have backwards compatibility. It's a weird thing. I don't know what the difference there is. But
so
that said, I agree with you 100% that visually I had some concerns.
So it's not just the character models. It was some of the animations and fighting. It was a lot of the animations and fighting. Because in the aspect of battle, they took a very Mount Blade kind of thing, which is the only reason I know about Mount Blade. It's because there's one guy at work that plays Mountain Blade, and he loves it. Like, he's put thousands and thousands of hours into Mountain Blade, and he's so looking forward to Mountain Blade too. And he loves the fact that you're dealing with these massive armies and medieval type stuff. It's the same type of stuff. Without the Viking skin, obviously, but that's what he loves about it, and it's great if it's executed really well, but if you sort of kind of miss on the execution, it looks really bad.
And yeah, I didn't get that. I have other complaints about the the combat. It didn't feel that way to me. Maybe I'd go back and watch it. I would have a different view there. But I was more caught up on the combat side of things, of just what the focus of the combat is, the gameplay element, not the look of it, but the actual how it plays. Right. Insofar as that it feels, and this is where that kind of Two-Face analogy to me really rang true, is it feels not Assassin's Creed-ish in its combat, in that it at least what they've showed, both what they showed in the actual event and then in the gameplay, they had like a half hour gameplay thing afterwards that they went deeper into it. And in both cases, they really focused on combat in the game as like you're running in, that it's looks like good combat. Like, I don't want to say it looks like it's bad combat per se, but it's like go in with like your dual wielding and you're like hacking down dudes and it's just running up to a fight. And Assassin's Creed to me is I'm sneaking around, I'm like hanging off a wall, I pop up and I like hidden blade kill somebody and then I go back into hiding. And that's like what Assassin's Creed gameplay is to me. And they made a point several times to say it will also have the stealth elements that you're familiar with from Assassin's Creed. But they didn't make an effort to show that nearly as much as they wanted to show the other combat, which they have, you know, like stagger bars or whatever they're going to call them. I don't know exactly what they're going to call them. But they have the kind of combat mechanisms that we've seen in lots of recent games of how you're going to fight enemies. Again, which is all well and good if they execute it as fun gameplay, that's fine. But it doesn't feel like Assassin's Creed gameplay to me at that point. So I have a lot of questions about what is it going to feel like if you want to play this? Like, I've always played Assassin's Creed, and Odyssey and Origin both got a little bit more away from that, although it still gave you the ability to play like that. And so with Odyssey, I approached almost every situation in a stealth mode, and I would go around and sneak and wipe out as many people as I could. If I got detected, I would go hide, and, you know, like the way that kind of gameplay generally works. And it just doesn't feel like that's how they've designed this game. And so it may be a fun game, and I'm absolutely looking forward to it because I loved Odyssey so much. But I just don't know that it's going to play like Assassin's Creed, and that bums me out on the surface. I'm going to need to hear people say this is really good, the same way that I really needed that with Origin and Odyssey. Like, they're changing enough that like I can't just go into it saying I loved Odyssey, so I'm going to love this. Now I have questions again.
Well, the other thing is the reputation, especially with this franchise. We've been very lucky, very blessed to have two really good games. And I can say that not because I've played either one of them, but you played both of them. And when it comes to Assassin's Creed, that is your account as Tony Kornheiser would say. that's your thing. And when you tell me it's good, I take that as gospel. And we've had two really good games. And I'm watching this going, okay, now here comes the bad one. You know, because it's based on their track record, it's time for one that's just sort of not there.
Yeah.
You know?
That's 100% fair. And I very candidly am less excited about that game right now than I was 2 hours ago, right? Like, having seen the gameplay, not that I'm not excited about it, but now I have a lot more questions than I did just in what my expectations and what my hopes are. If they can deliver a fun, interesting story in a great world like they did with Odyssey, and I have no reason to believe they can't do that, it's going to be a good game. But if the gameplay is as different, again, as they're kind of showing it off to be, you're running in with a group of Vikings and everybody's hacking and slashing, and it's these big battles and that kind of stuff. It's just going to be an adjustment. It's going to be, you know, it's not going to feel Assassin's Creed in that way. And they haven't shown a single bit of, you know, like the animus and what the kind of alternate side of everything looks like. Of course, that's not a big, big part of Assassin's Creed anyway. It is on the kind of story level. It's not on the gameplay level. It's not something that they ever talk about in the lead up to it. And so, but that said, like, it feels to me, just looking at it, if you were to take away any of that kind of stuff, the animus, the future, you know, kind of time travel-y element of Assassin's Creed and the stealthy combat thing of it, like, you're just releasing a Viking game at that point. That's not bad. I'm all for a Viking game. But if you're putting Assassin's Creed on it and it's just a Viking game like that, then you're kind of betraying a little bit of what my expectations are.
It's just like what we always said about Diablo 3. Diablo 3 is a great game if it didn't have the Diablo name on it.
Right. It's a great dungeon crawler. It's a mad Diablo.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. That's a really good analogy. This could be a really good Vikings game and a meh Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, and that's not the thing with them is that the stuff that they do, and it's always been this way, the stuff that Yubi does is either really, really good or meh. You know, like, there's no in the middle. Like, it's either really, really good or pass.
Yeah.
And there were a couple of things in this Ubisoft 4, that's the worst name ever, that made me sit up like I'm like leaned back in my chair because, you know, I got the recline mode. I'm like leaned back in my chair sort of sleeping. And then there's a couple of things that pop up that I look up and I'm like, oh, that's cool. And that kind of puts Yubi, that's them in a nutshell, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair. And you want Assassin's Creed to be the thing that you're excited about. And instead, it was, again, maybe I haven't even looked at Twitter yet to see what other people's kind of reactions to are finally having gameplay. We were told we saw gameplay before, but we didn't. Now we have. Now we've got a decent idea. Even the rap battle thing, they showcased that, which looks ridiculous, but maybe really fun. But we have gameplay now. And like I said, this went for me from being a no-brainer, yep, got to play that, to, again, back to what Odyssey was for me before I played it. Which was, I'm interested, but let me see. And then I ultimately played it because I got a free copy of it, right? Like, that's the reason that I played it, and I fell in love with the game. I don't know that they're going to give me a free copy of Valhalla for, you know, testing some streaming service or whatever. And so I want to play it because I loved Odyssey. I like the idea of Vikings, but I'm going to need to see more, and specifically now, I'm going to need to hear people who play it, not just see, you know, kind of Ubisoft's releases. By the way, they did announce they're going to have another Ubisoft Forward soon, just this is what everybody does now, which makes sense in the time we're in. I will say this about it. I thought it was really slick. I thought they used the format well.
Very, very tight. Very well done.
much more enjoyable to me than a E3 presser without all the spectacle. There was no Just Dance, for instance, right? Like, we didn't have like a marching band as part of this event and stuff like that. And so it was much more focused on the software. So with that said, let's talk about the, go ahead.
Real quick on the presentation, and this is what concerns me about when you're going to be in my house a week from Thursday for Microsoft. The presentation was perfect until Phil showed up.
Right.
And then I was like, bro, they got this slick thing going on. And it's like, he's doing the thing on his phone.
Yeah.
I'm like, bro, you need a mic or something.
Yeah.
Like, that video is awful.
It really was. Like, it was.
Where are you at, man? Come on.
Yeah. It was noticeably lesser quality than everything else was. So, yeah, something to look forward to with Microsoft next week. Hopefully they're sending some high-quality production gear to Phil's house to help him there, because it was evidence that he needs some help. Yeah, everything else about it was super slick. They did a really good job just on that part. It was tight, and I enjoyed it. That's something you can do when you pre-produce a package like that as opposed to trying to execute something like that live. And so we'll see. Hopefully Microsoft will be able to do something similar. So that said, the other software we saw really wasn't a ton. They spent a lot of time on the software that they had, which was nice. Beforehand, they did do a pre-show thing that had some Ghost Recon, did have Just Dance at that point, but not in the actual...
I missed that, which I was grateful for.
Yeah, wasn't too much there. They talked about Brawlhalla coming to their kind of melee.
I did
game.
See that.
It's coming to iOS and Android, so there you go for that. And what was the other one? They had one other, I don't remember what it was. One other game coming to mobile devices.
That wasn't the virtual battle royale. It wasn't that one.
No, it wasn't that one. We'll talk about that one a little bit. And they did have a Tom Clancy game in there, which was like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
But outside of that, they had kind of four big titles that they really focus on, Assassin's Creed being one. The others were, we'll start with Watch Dogs Legion. That was where they kind of started at. They had this little short film that they started with that was actually really intriguing if it was representative
it was
of what the story was going to be.
Stylized.
Yes.
Like that was fantastic and well done. And then
they made a point over and over and over to say that this is a short film. This was produced by whoever it was produced by, and shows his creative talent on and on to me, which said, this isn't what the game is. This is just what this guy did with some of our assets, you know, some of our clips or whatever, which again was cool, but I don't expect the game to have that feel, that vibe to it, the way that they were kind of talking about it.
So,
then they did show the game, and we got to see more of what we'd seen before with how it's going to play.
So we're going to take a few minutes here because there's a lot of discussion here. I was watching this. And you talk about having some questions about a game. I'm really excited about Watch Dogs Legion, but I cannot conceive of how you make every recruitable NPC in the game different.
Yeah.
Like, that's the aspect of this game that I There's no way to do that.
Yeah, they gave away a little bit of it in how they teased it, right? Because they showed the clip where like the dude was talking to the woman in the apartment, and then they showed it where it could be the exact same dialogue except for happening with this young woman, it was happening with this old woman, and that to me went, oh, that's their gimmick, right? That they're gonna have a handful of stories. I don't know how many, and that's going to be the key to how gimmicky this feels, is how many of these different stories that they have, that they could put all of these different character skins they have in the game into, you know, this bucket of kind of predefined stories that they have. And so depending on how many people you can recruit, So theoretically, you can recruit like anybody in the game or almost anybody in the game. But like, I also imagine there's going to be some limit to what your party, quote unquote, is. I don't think party is the right word, but your recruitment pool can be
your crew.
Yeah, your crew. And that's how they're going to limit, you know, like just not being able to recruit everybody, every person in the game to your thing, which makes sense. What I want to know is, are we going to see any of those kind of story beats repeated? Are we going to see that same dialogue tree that happens in that apartment that they showed can happen with two different characters when you are playing through the game? Are you going to have repeats like that? Because if you do, that's going to feel really gimmicky. If you don't, if you play through the whole game and you can, again, the illusion of being able to recruit anybody is the trick here. It's not whether or not you actually can, but whether or not in a playthrough of that game, does it feel like you had full freedom to do that? If they can pull that off where you go through the whole game, you recruit whoever you want, whoever you walk into on the street, each one of them has a different whatever origin story, how they kind of explained it, that you have to play through to recruit them, and then you get them as part of your crew. If every one of those is unique, they've got a pretty cool gimmick. If you're going to see like the same little storyline play the same origin story four or five times, it's going to feel really dumb and get really old.
Well, and the thing is, the thing that excites me about it, I didn't play a lot of Watch Dogs 2. I should have, but I only played a couple hours of Watch Dogs 2. Because at the end of the day, it was more action-y than I have the reflexes for.
Yeah.
And it was kind of the same deal with the original Watch Dogs. Great game. You really enjoyed it. There's lots of base clearing there. I enjoyed watching it, but I know I don't have the reflexes to play it. My question with this is, with the gimmick, quote unquote, that they're using, that you can take these different approaches. Like, if I can stealth my way through based on the character that I'm using, or drone my way through is another way that they showed it, showed the same mission, then I'm actually going to be able to play this like I haven't really been able to play the first two. And that excites me, but I have doubts that they can pull it off.
Yeah.
Because I think at some point in every mission, there's going to be this combat section, no matter who you're playing with, where you don't really have the option to just run. And
yeah,
and it, I think right there it's going to fall apart.
Yeah, I think there's a good chance of that. And again, Watch Dogs, we've talked about this before, is a franchise that's kind of built on a gimmick, right? The very first one was so much hype going into next gen on PlayStation 4 of, you know, this world where you can hack anything and you can make, you know, these gameplay elements feel, you know, like totally unique. Every playthrough is different, blah, blah, blah. And then when you actually play it, it's kind of just the same gimmicks over and over. You can make manhole covers pop up and you know, damage the car behind you or whatever, which is a cool gimmick. It's a really fun game to play. And I feel like what Watch Dogs 2 did really well is they just leaned into it, right? They said, okay, this is gimmicky. We just want it to be fun. And so it was, it didn't take itself nearly as seriously as the first one. It felt, you know, just a little bit more lighthearted. I feel like Legions is trying to kind of split the difference between those two, right? It feels like a little more serious than Watch Dogs 2, maybe, but still definitely taking itself a lot more lightheartedly with, you know, the masks and the kind of over-the-top nature of a lot of the kind of future London stuff. And so just from feel, lean into the gimmick, make it fun, you can pull it off. You know, it's not going to be the best game ever made, but it could be a very, very fun title. But if the gimmick isn't fun, again, if the gimmick feels stale, if the idea of you have each one of these characters, going to your point, that plays differently, but then they very like there's very minimal differences between them that you end up just in the same kind of combat situations, regardless of what character you're playing as. Then the gimmick, you know, doesn't feel as fun, and then it kind of falls flat. And I think that was the original Watchdog. That was part of the problem with it, that it kind of ended up mixed reviews, is just that, okay, this gimmick is fun for the first couple hours of the game, and then it's a gimmick, you know? And so I very much could see that with this one as well, that, like, when you first launch the game and you play it for a bit, you're like, this is so cool. I can go find all these characters in the world and, like, recruit them, and it gives me so much content. And then 3 hours in, you're like, okay, now the content's feeling a little stale, and I just want to get through it, and I don't really care that, like, each one of these characters looks different. I don't have any attachment to them personally. That's a hard thing to do. Like, you got to make me care about these characters. I don't know if they're gonna do that.
It's a weird analogy, and I don't know if it's gonna work, but I'm gonna try it.
Those are my favorite kind.
So I'm playing Mass Effect Andromeda, heavily modded Mass Effect Andromeda, modded to the point that if it wasn't modded, I wouldn't be able to play it. Like, there are aspects of this game that aren't Jamie Jordan friendly unless it's modded. And one of the things that allows me to play Mass Effect Andromeda at this point is a mod called Better Squadmates, meaning that the people that you take with you don't suck. So if I get into a really massive battle and I'm way outnumbered and no, I don't have the reflexes, I can just go hide behind cover and, you know, take pot shots, and it works. The thing that is fun about Mass Effect Andromeda right now, and I talked about this a little bit before, is the world exploring. It feels, I was playing it last night, I played a couple hours last night, and it feels very 1970s William Shatner Star Trek. Like, we're out here, and we don't know what we're doing, and there's all this stuff, and there's these aliens, and they don't like us, and we're in this new universe, and we got tech, but it's nothing like this tech, and we're really trying not to suck here. That's what it feels like. And there's a lot of exploration, and it's fun, and it's not the AAA title that we wanted it to be, but it's a solid B.
Yeah.
Right? And if you can, it's a solid B with mods, I will say. You gotta have the mods, otherwise it ain't a B. But that's kind of where I'm at with Watch Dogs, Legion especially. If you give me something that is fun to explore, I'm going to spend a lot of time in it. I mean, I've got almost 40 hours in Andromeda right now, and I'm just getting started. Like, and I'm not looking to put it down. So you give me, we've talked about it before, and you especially, London is one of your favorite places out there. Basically anywhere in Europe. We've talked about having Grand Theft Auto maybe in London, how cool that would be. To me, this is about the... this game is about the environment and exploration and all that. If you can pull that off, then the rest of it can just kind of be whatever it is.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with a solid B title. Again, not every game has to be one of the best games ever made. It's hard when you are potentially coming out in the same year with two of those kinds of titles, right? We already know The Last of Us is. We're assuming that Cyberpunk is going to be. Any other game that comes out this year is going to be overshadowed because of that. And especially right now, Watch Dogs, when is Watch Dogs supposed to come out? It's supposed to come out the October. That one's October. So that one's supposed to come out October. Assassin's Creed's supposed to come out November. Cyberpunk's supposed to come out in November as well, right? And so it's easy to imagine one or both of those games just being incredibly overshadowed by Cyberpunk if Cyberpunk lives up to all of its hype. Again, it can be fun without needing to be that, and there's something to even, you know, being able to sell it in that way. That we'll see if UB does. I don't know that they will, but yeah. It does look like an interesting concept, and I'm still excited about it, like you said. The other two we saw really quickly, I don't think these will take quite as much time. Hyperscape, it's this new game, and I still am trying to wrap my head around it. At its heart, it's a battle royale, and so already I'm not terribly interested in it, but it does have like this weird kind of meta thing to it. So it's in the future, and like the battle royale system of the game exists inside of a bigger kind of package of the game, and so the game is in the future and you play in the battle royale as this like entertainment thing that happens in this future world. But there's also apparently some kind of story elements outside of the battle royale system thing that you can also explore, do stuff with. I don't know. One of the kind of cool things that they did talk about with it as a battle royale, which if you're into that world, this could give it some uniqueness or make it kind of fun. And I would assume, at least, I don't know this world enough to know if this already exists. But they have this idea where, like on Twitch, that people watching will be able to like vote on like game state changes, like gravity changes, or everybody suddenly has unlimited ammo. And so while you're playing, there will also be these dynamic shifts that are happening due to like real life people feedback watching you on Twitch play this game. It's a cool idea. Again, does it remotely interest me? It's not a game I imagine I'll ever pick up unless it has to be. Like, if it turns into Fortnite, then I'll pick it up probably for about as long as I've picked up Fortnite. I don't see that happening. But it's interesting. I don't know. Yeah, it's a battle royale.
I will admit to you, and I think I said it last week. I don't remember if I said it on the air, but Fortnite is sitting on my machine because I have two nieces that play Fortnite, and it has not been fired up yet. But it's there. And just seeing that icon on my screen kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies. Like, it's very strongly one of those things like, this does not belong here.
Yeah.
And that's just how I feel about all of those. That, not that there's anything wrong with them. I just don't care.
Yeah. Again, if you're into that world, then maybe this is...
And we should say it's out now. Like, you can go get it and
yeah, it's in open beta right now. So yes. If you do want to play it, you've got the opportunity to play it. I don't, and we won't. And so you probably won't hear us talk about this game again. One you will hear us talk about more was the quote-unquote big announcement, though it leaked in a million different ways before the event. So it may have had a little more impact if everybody didn't already know it was coming. But that's Far Cry 6.
I did not.
Well, there you go.
That was one of those things that made me sit up. I almost texted you because I don't so much care that it's Far Cry 6. I care that the main bad guy appears to be Gustavo Fring.
Right.
I feel like that's the greatest thing ever.
So,
like, he's the ultimate for Far Cry.
Yes. I don't know if it's brilliant or horrible, but let's talk about it. So really quickly. Still don't know a ton of details about this. It's coming in February, and so all of these games, as is kind of typical for UB, are coming soon. February being the farthest one out. February is not that far out. So anyway, Far Cry 6 is coming in February. It takes place in what looks to be a Cuba-like country, and so that's kind of the setting for it. The reports are is that there will actually be a big city element of it, which is kind of something we haven't seen in Far Cry. And so that should be interesting, a new way to kind of approach the game. But what they did show us was as you said, very focused on the kind of story element of Giancarlo Esposito, who is Gus Fring and will always be Gus Fring to me. He was in The Mandalorian, and it just threw me off because I'm like, hey, it's Gus Fring. He does make a great, great villain. And so on that, there's a ton of potential for it to be really captivating. I also, because it's UB, and this is kind of what UB does to a certain extent, I also fear it may just be really, really gimmicky. After seeing the trailer, because I'd purposely waited till today to watch the trailer, even though the trailer had leaked as well, I wanted to watch that as part of the UB event. After seeing the trailer, I'm more convinced that this could really work, that this is compelling. We've talked about it a ton before. I love Far Cry gameplay mechanics. I just love how the game plays. And so if you do that and add Gus Fring as the villain on top of that, it should make for an enjoyable experience. Of all the games that we saw, this is the one now, even more so than Assassin's Creed, that I'm like, I really want to play that.
I haven't played Far Cry in a long time. Long time. I think I might have played a couple hours of Far Cry 3. And I need to go back to that now that I have the computer I need to play all the Far Cries because I have a computer that can handle it. And you played them on console, I think.
Yeah, I have Far Cry 5 on PC, actually. I have played a couple hours of it. I really need to go back to it.
Yeah, we both need to because we have the rigs for it. So, but this, because of that guy, it's the lamest thing to say. But because that guy's in the game and the setting being what it is, like, it just reeked of Breaking Bad.
Yes.
Like, it reeked of Breaking Bad. And I'm like, if Walter White shows up right here, I'm going to lose my stuff. Like, I'm going to lose my mind if Walter White or Jesse comes walking in to Far Cry 6. That's it. I'm going to lose my mind. And right there, I decided, I don't care what happens. I have to play this. Yeah. I have to play it. I haven't touched Far Cry 5. I haven't. We were excited about it. I've never even thought of installing it. Far Cry 4 was your absolute favorite.
Yeah.
But this I have to play.
I agree. And the setting, this is not a setting that I'm particularly interested in. And we talked about it whenever Far Cry 4 came out. We talked about it a ton. I just love the mountains. Like, my heart is in the mountains. And so this, like, Himalayan-based Far Cry, that's a game mechanic that I love and a setting that I love, was a no-brainer for me. And I loved every minute of it. I really enjoyed that game a ton. And Far Cry 5 should be that for me as well, because it's like Montana. It's also this very kind of mountainous setting. This doesn't have the setting for me, and so it's purely Gus Fring. That's now like the excitement part of me. Like, the gameplay plus whatever for this game is the gameplay plus it's Gus Fring. And again, he's going to be Gus Fring to me. I don't care. He's the president of this country, whatever. Like, he's just going to be Gus Fring in my head, and that's how it's going to be most enjoyable. And I don't even care a little bit.
If they're smart. I hope they. I thought of this while I was watching this. If there is a level designer out there that's smart, you have to put a Los Pollos Hermanos restaurant in this thing somewhere.
Yeah, some kind of Easter egg nod to that for sure. Yeah, there has to be some sort of chicken place that you're like, ah, I see what you did there.
I mean, it's just that. Okay. Look, what got me about it is that we know the guy's in other stuff, and it's not the way that he looks, but the way that he read this, the pacing of his speech,
yep,
was exactly like Gus Fring. And I'm sure they did that on purpose.
Absolutely.
Like, it's like they brought Gus Fring into the booth. Like, there's no doubt it's that guy. It's not just because it's that actor and we're like, oh, Gus Fring. He read it like Gus Fring.
Absolutely. I'm sure, like, in the booth when they were doing or doing mocap or whatever, you know, because now it's not just a booth thing. But anyway, whatever. When they were capturing this, I just am certain at some point the director said, that was really good, but make it more Gus. You know, like, that's what we hired you for a very specific reason. We all know this. There's no secrets here. That's why you're doing this game. Make it more that. And so, of course, I don't want it to be just, you know, exactly Gus Fring, but that's the expectation here. And for everybody that's going to play it, that's what we're looking forward to. So we're looking for a villain we already know kind of presented in a new way. And that's what it felt like. And if you do that and you execute that well with the Far Cry gameplay, I can't imagine how it's not a fun game to play.
It's going to be amazing to try and kill that guy for 15 hours.
Yeah.
And, like, it's going to be a blast. And this is the first Far Cry in a long time that I will say that if we buy it and he's in it and it's done up to the production level that Far Cry's are normally done up to, I'll play all the way through this. Like, because the one thing that Far Cry does is it does amazing environments. You might not like the environment, but the environments are fantastic.
Yep, 100%.
And they do great gameplay. And so, if they can nail the other part of this, like, they're going to get me for 15 hours.
Yep, 100%. So, and I will say, one of the most rewarding moments in television history to me is Gus Fring walking out of the room at the retirement home with half his face missing.
And adjusting the tie.
Yeah, it's just the best moment, right? Like, it's just this great moment. And so, the idea of getting to play a game where the end goal will likely be killing Gus Fring and getting a moment that, not obviously that same moment, but looking for a moment where you get to kill Gus Fring, is really exciting. It is something that will keep me playing to the end of a game to see how they resolve that. So yeah, I think they've got a winner.
And we told you that we really like Breaking Bad.
Really like Breaking Bad.
And I refuse. Like, I know there are other great shows out there. My neurologist told me I must see Narcos. But I can't make myself sit down and watch it because at the end of the day, I know it's not Breaking Bad.
Yep.
That show's so good.
Yeah, I agree. I tried to get into Narcos, and I just couldn't do it. It just didn't happen for me. But I have, and I mentioned this before, I've watched Ozark. I haven't watched all of season 3 yet. That's on my watch list for very soon. That one is the most satisfying kind of Breaking Bad adjacent show that I can think of. It's not Breaking Bad, and don't go into it thinking you're going to like it as much as Breaking Bad. It's so much more absurd and over the top at times. Which is saying a lot. Breaking Bad is pretty absurd and over the top at times. But Jason Bateman as, like, this not funny dude in this show, where it's really compelling. I recommend it for one.
Yeah, okay.
Ozark is the one I would say. Try that one if you want something to scratch that Breaking Bad itch, knowing that it's not going to be Breaking Bad. But it's as close as I felt to Breaking Bad in any show.
The only thing that scratches it at this point of not seeing Ozarks, but the only thing that scratches it to this point is Saul. Saul yes. has that same feel.
Absolutely.
Like, I look, this is how you know things are a little bit slow. My dad turned on the TV to watch something, and we had company. And we have the DVR in our house can record three things at once, right? And one of the things that it was recording that I didn't realize it was recording was Better Call Saul. And for some reason, it said new. And I ran to my room. I'm like, are they wearing masks? What are they doing? Is it new? Like, of course, it wasn't new. They reran the entire season while I wasn't looking because they don't have anything else to play. But that's one of those things that when new Saul comes out, I have to stop and watch it.
Yeah, there is new Saul out, right? Like, I mean, the most recent season just came out in the past couple of months.
Right. Well, that's the last I saw was five. If they're past five.
Yeah, I don't remember what season they're on. Whatever the latest season is, just recent. I believe that's true because it's on my list of things, too.
That's been 2 or 3 months ago. Like, I've seen that is okay. What I'm saying.
I'm not that caught up on it yet.
And I thought there was, well, that's what I'm saying. I saw it and I thought there was more. And I all of a sudden got really, really happy because Saul is the only thing that really is in that zone.
Yeah. So, and you get Gus Fring. You get to scratch that itch still.
Yes.
Which is wonderful. So. All that said, we have digressed into TV now, which is fine, but not what we're here for. So that was Yubi. Like we said, there's more Yubi theoretically coming, and there's going to be Yubi news for a while because they're about to be making a lot of hires and changing a lot of things, just general direction-wise. There's obviously a lot of stuff we haven't seen still yet, again, however you want to say that. Specifically, I'm thinking we haven't seen more Beyond Good and Evil in a while, and so... Who knows when that's going to be a thing, but it still theoretically exists. They say they're still working on it. So we'll see if that makes an appearance again in one of these Ubisoft forwards that's coming up soon. That would obviously make a lot of news if it were to be featured. So we can hope.
Yeah, and I'm thinking they would be smart to not show that this year.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to get, I don't care who you are, you're not going to compete with Cyberpunk.
Yep. And that's kind of in the same lane, you know? And so, like,
yeah.
They can kind of set themselves up right now to kind of just sit on it. And then in a year, go, hey, you're feeling that Cyberpunk itch? Like, let me show you this thing that we're working on that's coming out in 2022 or whatever. That seems like it would be viable and wise and yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they're just kind of hanging out until after Cyberpunk to kind of jump in on the success of that and then go from there.
Which I'm totally fine with.
Yep, I think that'd be brilliant. So
totally
anyway, that's Yubi. We'll be back in a little over a week with Microsoft, which will be exciting.
We're actually on a roll. We had a round table, which was fantastic. And we're done UV show. We're going to do, Microsoft, not next Thursday, but, the next Thursday. And so we've kind of got this summer of games going and it's making me happy. We've got The Last of Us 2, which is fantastic. I'm 2 hours behind you on that. And I'm looking forward to watching more of that. We're having a good time. We hope you are also. You know where all our stuff is. GamingOnCensored@gmail.com. Send us an email. We do read them. And sometimes if you're really funny, we actually respond. and so definitely swing by there if you want to talk to us. Go by the Facebook page. Lots of debate that is not us on the Facebook page.
The most lively place for conversation. It's fantastic.
I love what goes on there because it's not us. We'll chime in occasionally, but for the most part, we're just watching.
Yep.
And that's a good thing. Definitely go by the Patreon because we will take your money.
By the way, just really quickly here, Patreon guys, Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavosh, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, and Sam, thank you guys a ton. I always forget to do that in these E4 episodes. So there you go.
Yes. And those guys take care of us. They continue to take care of us for reasons that we don't understand. And it allows us to do some cool things on this show. We've got more Patreon content coming, I can pretty much guarantee, because you're going to be in the house. And we've gotten through our bad weekend. That's not going to happen again. We're going to get some good content out when you're here.
Yes.
On that Thursday. So if you're not a Patreon member, it is time to become one. If you're interested at all, go over there, do that. It's a lot of fun.
By the way, I don't think we've actually mentioned it on the show. There is an hour and a half of us playing Final Fantasy VII while drinking up there. That is either comic gold or the worst thing you're ever going to watch. But either way, it should be fun.
Yeah, I don't really know, to be honest with you, because I don't remember a whole lot. So there's that. I do know I fell asleep at one point. So that was not on camera, which I'm thankful for. But yeah, good stuff over there and more coming. We're having a blast. We hope you are too. You can also chime in on the voicemail line, which is
509-GAME-210.
We're gonna play stuff there eventually, we swear.
Yes. It's coming. It's coming soon.
Yeah.
I keep saying that, but it really is.
It really is. We just gotta put it together. So please, please, please send us segments. We'll take them. We'll play them. And we haven't said this in a long time. We will play almost anything.
Yep.
So definitely go by there and check that out. Other than that, I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. We are Gaming Uncensored. This is Gaming Uncensored's continuing coverage of the summer of games, affectionately known as E4. And it's only on GamingUncensored.com. And we are out. Is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.